We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, Surprising Expectations, revealing the surprising challenges you might face when stepping out in faith and how to overcome them. Now, here's today's program.
If you're a believer, he can't touch you, but he can lie to you. And we realize he's always lying to non-believers and blinding them to the truth and plugging their ears so they can't see the light and the glory of God. But I want to tell you this, he lies to believers all the time. You know how I know that? Because he's lying to you right now. He constantly lies to us to get us to get a motive about things that aren't even true. That's why we need to be so aware of what the word of God says and be obedient to it. Notice what happens here. Now, then the foremen, the sons of Israel, came and they cried out to Pharaoh. Again, who's the one keeping them in bondage? Pharaoh or Moses and Aaron? Pharaoh's keeping them in bondage. When the straw gets taken away, who do they cry to? Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the one keeping them in bondage. It's weird that they would go there, isn't it? Satan's deceived them in getting them to think that Moses and Aaron caused their problem. So now they're going to go complain to the very one that's made it hard on them. And so they're going to complain. They say, why do you deal with us in this way as your servants? There is no straw given to your servants, yet they keep saying to us, make bricks, and behold, your servants are being beaten, but it is the fault of your own people. And this is Pharaoh's response. But he said, you're lazy, very lazy. Therefore, you say, let us go sacrifice to the Lord. He's taunting them. He's like, hey, quit this sacrifice to the Lord stuff. You're just being lazy. Don't blame me for getting beaten. Don't blame me for not doing your job. You're the one that brought all this on yourself. So he says, so now go and work, for you will be given no straw, yet you must deliver the quota of the bricks. And notice what happens. The foremen of the sons of Israel saw that they were in trouble because they were told, you must not reduce your daily amount of bricks. When they left Pharaoh's presence, they met Moses and Aaron as they were waiting for them. So Moses and Aaron are waiting outside. They leave Pharaoh and look who they're upset with. They said to Moses and Aaron, may the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and the sight of his servants to put a sword in their hands to kill us. Now, just at the end of the last chapter, they were all rejoicing that Moses and Aaron had arrived. Moses and Aaron did exactly what the Lord told them to do. Moses and Aaron loved the people of God. Moses and Aaron wanted to see the people delivered. They did what God wanted. Pharaoh turns up the heat. Opposition happens. And guess what happens? When opposition started, deception began. And what did the Israelites begin to think? They began to think this bad stuff happened because of Moses and Aaron. If they're for God, I'm not for God. Sometimes we begin to think as we step out in faith, if God were so good, then why is all this bad stuff happening? If I'm following the Lord the way I should, then why am I having to go through all this? I'm doing what God wants me to do. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, then why are all these bad things happening? I've been told prosperity awaits me. Friends, oftentimes when you are doing what God tells you to do, you are going to face opposition and deception from God's people. God's people are being lied to by the enemy. The enemy's telling them, it's Moses' and Aaron's fault. Why is the enemy saying that? Because he wants Moses and Aaron to leave. Because if Moses and Aaron leave, 2 million Israelites will remain in bondage and God won't get his plan done to deliver the people. And because they're his chosen servants, that's who he goes after. Here's the problem. You have to realize that when you are serving the Lord, people will be deceived. Sometimes when you're serving people and you want their marriage to go better, you want it more than they do. Sometimes when you're helping people come to Christ, you want it more than they do. Sometimes when you want to see people get out of addiction, you want it more than they do. And sometimes because of your good efforts and because of you telling the truth and because of your prayers and because of your love, who are they going to blame? They're going to blame you because their life was a lot better before they had to start thinking about the truth when you walked into it. Now think about this. I've seen these six stages of opposition and 6 stages of bondage that I've seen over and over in my life and in the lives of other people. And I'm just going to spell them out for you because this is how Satan works. Stage 1 is this. There's somebody, maybe it's you or somebody else, or maybe you want to help others to desire freedom and choose to follow God. That's what you want. God's called you to help others do that. God's called you to himself, and you decide that that's right. I'm going to take a step towards God. Step 2 is this. Once you make a step towards God and doing what God wants you to do, you can guarantee step 2. Problems will begin and it's going to get difficult. Let me say it again. When you hear the Lord and he gives you something on your heart to get going on, it may not be the thing you want to talk to God about. It can be a real minuscule thing, but I promise you, when you take a step in that direction and it's crystal clear, this is where God wants you to go, there'll be things all around your life that will oppose that very step. And you'll begin to question like, well, why did I step here? Did I hear right? Do I know right? I mean, what happened? Nothing. The enemy turned up the heat because he doesn't want you to go that way. And then 3, he'll continue to talk to you until you feel totally hopeless. Totally hopeless. Where you say, I don't think I should have gone this way. This is not the way I should have gone. I don't know what's going on. Where's God? This is terrible. I was better off before I got here. Which comes to stage 4. You start blaming God and you start blaming people that are helping lead you towards God. You'll blame God. Some of you here would say, I'm mad at God right now. Truly, you're not. He's the one who created you. He loves you with an unconditional love. If he was to show up in all of his glory, you would feel his warmth. You would want to be. You're not mad at God. You may be mad at the circumstances you're going at. You may be uncertain and confused about why you're going through it. It's the enemy that's lying to you and saying, if your God was so good, then why are you going through this? It's because your God is so good that you're going through this. He's strengthening you. He's taking you through a season maybe nobody else is going through because he's entrusting you with something special. Once the enemy gets you to a place of hopelessness and you blame God for others, then step 5 comes. That's where you beg God for your original circumstances rather than for freedom. You want to go back. You want to go back. You know what Israel's doing right now? For 400 plus years, they've been slaves. They've been making brick every single day. They hate every aspect of their life. Moses and Aaron come, say, God sent us, you're gonna be free. They rejoice. A few days later, they tell Pharaoh, this is what's gonna happen. Pharaoh says, no way that's gonna happen. I don't know your God. Now your people can make brick, but they don't get their own straw, and we're gonna beat them. So what's Israel say? Please just give us straw. If you just give us straw, we would never complain ever again. We love it here. Egypt's so wonderful. That's step 5, where you want to go back to where you were. And then comes step 6. You become more entrenched and more frustrated with where you were than where you even started. Those are deeper steps of bondage. You can see it everywhere in your life. Some of you date people and you know you shouldn't be dating them because you're a believer and they're not a believer and you break up. And then when you break up, it's like, well, who is there to date? And I'm all alone and there's nothing to do on Friday night. Now I'm totally hopeless and I'm blaming God because if God was so good, he would have brought my spouse by now. And I blame all these pastors for telling me to break up with them. I'm mad at Pastor Jeff. And now I beg to go back to the person I was dating or somebody worse off. And then I become even more entrenched in my single life than I was before. Or we do it in marriage. God tells us about being the type of spouse we need to be. And we become that type of spouse. But just because we do doesn't mean our spouse does. And then problems begin and it gets difficult. And then we feel hopeless. And then we blame God because we say, I'm doing my part, but she's not doing hers. Or I'm doing my part, but he's not doing his. And then we're like, I just wanted to go back to the original. It was so much better before I got married. And then we become more entrenched. It happens in every area of life. We can talk about it with addiction and everything. That's what Satan does. Don't be surprised by elaborate deception. Anytime you get to a place where you're blaming God and wanting comfort, know Satan's got a stronghold in your life. God doesn't call you to be comfortable. God calls you to be godly. Amen? So don't be surprised when you come across extraordinary opposition and elaborate deception. And then this third one. Guarantee you'll experience this if you walk with the Lord. The third thing that you can expect is extreme disappointment. Extreme disappointment. The enemy will discourage you. He's a master at it. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Notice what Moses says in verses 22 and 23. I think this highlights the heart of this entire passage. Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? And why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people and you have not delivered your people at all. What's he saying? I don't get what's going on here. I reluctantly came. You told me to go. I did what you told me to do. Now the people I'm serving are more upset with me, and you haven't done a doggone thing. Like, God, you're not good at what you say you're good at. I did what you wanted, and instead of getting better, it got worse. Now, that may sound unchristian to you, but if you've taken steps of faith, you know you've been there. There's a reality to our walk with Christ that when we're walking with him, the enemy has a way to discourage us at a depth of who we are that we didn't even know possible that existed. And who's the ones that are discouraging Moses and Aaron? It's God's people, the ones that they're trying to free. Can I tell you this and go on record of saying this? About 99% of the discouragement that you will feel in following the Lord will come from God's people and not pagans.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Surprising Expectations, revealing the surprising challenges you might face when stepping out in faith and how to overcome them. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
It's God's people, the ones that they're trying to free. Can I tell you this and go on record of saying this? About 99% of the discouragement that you will feel in following the Lord will come from God's people and not pagans. I'll say it again because you didn't hear me. About 99% of the discouragement that you will feel come from believers, not pagans. It's people that you truly love. It's people that you're pouring into. It's that person caught in addiction you're trying to bring out. It's the person whose marriage is going hard that you're trying to help. It's that single person that's disgruntled that you're trying to love. It's that person, you know, at work that you're trying to help them out with their family. It's the person you're pouring into, and they're the ones that get mad at you for meddling in their life when all you're doing is trying to love them. And that's what the enemy does. Because if he can get you to a place of discouragement, guess what happens? If you're hopeless and discouraged, then guess what you'll do? I'm done with this thing. And if you're honest with yourself, and if we're clear with one another, there are times in your life, if you follow God, you'll want to quit. I've been in ministry for 30 plus years. I can promise you, I can't even count how many times I've been before the Lord and like, seriously? I mean, there's so many other people. Like, this is way too hard. I can't take this anymore. One more thing that happens is too much weight. It's too hard. I'm not the right person. I see what you're calling me to do. I'm not the one you want. You know, get somebody else. Let me have a real job. Let me do something else. That happens in everybody's life on a micro scale and on a macro scale if you follow the Lord. That's what's going on here. Now, aren't you glad you came to church today? I mean, I've told you boldly from the word of God that if you follow the Lord, you're going to have extraordinary oppression, elaborate deception, and extreme disappointment. Who's in? We have to realize that when we follow the Lord, we're not getting on the love boat and cruising away to bliss. We got on a warship and we're battling for Jesus. The enemy hates what we do. Amen? And it's okay to feel discouraged. I mean, you read any biblical character, there's discouragement. I mean, even Jesus on the night that he was betrayed, never sinned, but he was still calling out to his dad, is this the only way? He was always asking his disciples, are you still so dull? Do you not get it? How long must I put up with you? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? I mean, Jesus' entire ministry, I mean, in his flesh, he was talking to his dad like, are you sure you got this right? And if that was true of Jesus, how much more is that going to be true of us? He's the Son of God. Who are we but dust? When God puts you on a mission, I would say it this way. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have to develop a very tender heart and very thick skin. And by that, what I mean is this. Developing thick skin means you can handle the abuse that comes from people that you love, either words or actions or pain. That's going to happen. But at the same time, you got to develop a tender heart. Because if you develop a hardened heart, then you won't love the very people God's trying to get you to love. And God's doing both simultaneously. He's telling you, don't worry about what other people think. just love me. And keep your heart really tender and soft and continue to love them even when they're acting unlovable, because Jeff, that's how I treat you. That's how he treats you. He loves you with a tender heart even when you're unlovable. And he's that thick enough skin to handle all of your misbehaviors and all of your words towards him. That's who our God is. And that's what he's developing in us. Moses is asking, why me? When you ask that question, God, why me? The answer better be because he told me to. That's why a call to ministry or a call to serve is not because I think I better try this. This sounds like a good career. Don't do that. Make sure it's the Lord that calls you to do something and be obedient to what he shows you. And then entrust yourself to him. Because I find that ministry, when we talk about vision and what we're going to build and we get all excited about what God's going to do, it's not just building things that we build this and we build this and we build this and it's new small groups and it's more buildings and it's schools and it's campuses. And I find it more like building sandcastles on the beach. Ever see somebody build sandcastles on the beach? Even the people that are really good at it, that make these elaborate ones that everybody's coming and taking pictures of, you know it's not going to stand. I mean, the only way that what we're building stands is because Jesus Christ is still building his church. It's not our efforts. It's what God's going to do. He's doing two different things here. Do you see it? You're going to see it play out. He's teaching Moses, there's nothing in you that I can use. It's me in you that I can use. He's also teaching the people of Israel, I'm toughening you up because you're going to spend a long time in the wilderness and you won't survive if I'm not. So he's even using this bad experience in their life to get them ready for what's coming. Did you know that God uses bad experiences in your life to get you ready for what's coming? I mean, you think about all the bad experiences in your life, all the ones that you would go back and hit a rewind switch and say, I would never choose that one. You may be in one of those right now. But if you can look back on it, for those of you that come through it, you would say, I don't ever want to repeat that again. But I would say this, that hard situation may be the closest I ever felt to the Lord, maybe the most growth I've ever had in the Lord. And he used that awful situation to grow me in Christ. Don't despise opposition. Don't despise the deception around you. Don't despise the disappointment. It's okay. Oftentimes it's our disappointment that brings us back to the Lord. It's our disappointment that has us pursue the Lord. It's when we're down and out where we're saying, Lord, I need you. Yes, I need you. Some of the greatest psalms come out of disappointment. Some of the greatest hymns come out of disappointment. Jesus said this, in this world, you will have tribulation. You know what that means? Listen up. You follow Jesus in this world, you're going to be disappointed. There is never a perfect utopia until Jesus Christ returns. But when he returns, it is going to be awesome. That's what you should be looking forward to. Amen? So it's coming. Now, as I was writing this, I mean, I was finishing this up on Friday and I got really upset because I was reading all this. I'm like, I've lived this for 30 years. And I was thinking, when's this end? And the answer is never. Not until we meet Jesus face to face. But isn't it true that the more we go through this and cycle through this, the more we yearn for him, the more we desire his return, the more we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why God takes us through this. Now, notice this, because if you can make it through those three, there's a couple things that you can expect that are actually really good. As we get into chapter 6, here's what you're going to see. You can expect this. You can expect established intimacy. Established intimacy. The enemy will require you to know the Lord. The enemy was going to require you to know the Lord. Now, that may sound strange, but listen up. So when Moses is desperate, that's when the Lord visits him. Notice in chapter 6, then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For under compulsion, he will let them go. And under compulsion, he will drive them out of the land. God's saying, listen, it's not your words. I'm going to turn his heart in such a way that Pharaoh himself will send everybody away. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Have we heard that before? I am. I'm Yahweh. I am. I've always been. I will always be. I'm the covenant-keeping God that created everything. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. He's saying, Moses, I'm giving you special revelation. I'm giving you new revelation. I'm showing you things I didn't show them. Do you realize in this dispensation, after Jesus rose from the dead and dispensed his Holy Spirit, we live in a dispensation where the Holy Spirit indwells us in a way that everybody we read about in the Old Testament, that's not true. I mean, there's special things going on in every generation that God is doing. He's telling Moses, I'm going to do this. I told you I was going to do this. Don't get frustrated. Don't get upset. Just keep on demonstrating faith. Keep on trusting me. Keep on believing in me. He said this, I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land which they sojourned. What's he saying? He says, I'm a promise-keeping God. I promised them I was going to give them the land. I'm a promise-keeping God. If I said I'm going to do it, guess what? I'm going to do it. We sang a song today in church. All of his promises are yes and amen. If God says he's going to do it, guess what he's going to do? Just what he said he's going to do. And notice this. Furthermore, verse 5, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. So there's this intimacy going on when Moses is like, what's going on? I did what you told me to do, and it's getting worse. I did what you told me to do, and I don't like this anymore. And God's like, listen, you need to know who I am. I'm revealing things to you I didn't even tell your forefathers. I'm doing things through you that nobody's ever seen before. I know my word. I'm true to my word. I told people I'd give them the land of Canaan. Israel will have the land of Canaan. It will be theirs. I'm God. I'm faithful to my promises. Furthermore, I told you I heard all their moanings. I know they're crying. They were crying long before you got there, Moses. Just because they're crying now is nothing new to me. I'm going to take care of it. So he commissions them. He says, say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you up out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord who brought you out of the land under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession, for I am the Lord. He says this, do what I told you to do, because I promise you I'll be faithful to my word. So Moses thus spoke to the sons of Israel. And all right, okay, I'll tell them. I'll let them know. But they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and cruel bondage. They're in the hopelessness stage. Moses, you can tell us whatever you want. We don't believe you anymore. We don't trust you as a leader. You don't have any integrity with us. We don't have any following for you. So the Lord spoke to Moses saying, go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the sons of Israel go out of his land. God's not going to change his mind. Moses is going to say, I already did that. Guess what God's going to say? Well, go do it again. But I already tried serving you. Well, go do it again. But I already tried serving in kids. Well, go do it again. But I already gave some money. Give us some more. I mean, God doesn't change his mind on what he calls you to do. Did you ever notice that? I mean, sometimes we think that when God shows us something and we hear him clearly, that we think, well, if I don't do that, that'll go away. How many of you know it never goes away? A week later, a month later, five, it doesn't go away. If God says, this is what I want you to do, he's going to bring it about and make sure that you do it again and again and again to the point where you realize it's not me doing the work, it's the Lord doing the work. Amen? So Moses is going to go to Pharaoh. That's what God tells him to do. But Moses got a problem again. Verse 12 and 13, but Moses spoke before the Lord saying, behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? For I am unskilled in speech. Has he talked this way before? God, I told you I'm not a good talker. And now you're sending me back again. I'm still not a good talker. Nothing's going to change. I don't have anything in me that will change Pharaoh's mind. I'm not good at what you're calling me to do. What's God going to say? You know what? You're right. I never thought about that before. That's not what he's going to say. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge to the sons of Israel and to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to bring the sons of Egypt out of the land. I told you what to do. Now go do it. Quit whining. Quit complaining. Just go. Now, here's what happens. The enemy will require that you know the Lord. And here's what I mean by that. If you've trusted in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you know the Lord. But there's a deepening of knowing the Lord that God wants you to get to. And there's a deepening of knowing the Lord that you have to experience before you can really see the authority of the Lord in your life. When you come to know the Lord, the Bible would call you a babe in Christ or an infant because you have new birth. And yes, you know the Lord, but there are some ways in which God wants you to grow so that he can use you in an authoritative and powerful way so that he can work in and through you.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Surprising Expectations, revealing the surprising challenges you might face when stepping out in faith and how to overcome them. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.